this is different. It's kind of ironic. I'm nervous, and you should be. So, when in Rome, they say, so I'm going to try to stay in the NASB, but if it's memory, it's King James. So, you know, you're used to hearing history and grammar, correct English. I don't have any of that. If I may jokingly paraphrase Peter in, I think it's Acts 3:6, you know, where he says, "Silver and gold have I none." Well, Greek and English grammar have I none. But that what I have, I give you. And what I'm going to give you this morning is magic. So, you know, that word may offend you. It may make you snicker, or it may tweak your interest. Either way, my hope is it will get your attention. Magic. In today's world, it's either evil or it's entertainment. And the magic I have is neither of those. I looked up magic in the dictionaries. A supposed supernatural power that makes impossible things happen, seemingly giving someone control over the forces of nature. Google says the power of apparently influencing the course of events by using mysterious supernatural forces. Supposedly, apparently, seemingly. What they're saying is that they don't believe in magic. The dictionary, this world, does not believe in magic. A good rule of thumb is, if the world believes something and totally accepts it, it's probably something that we should avoid. But if the world rejects it, well, there could be some validity to it. So I'm not saying all the time, right? But more often than not. Anyway, they define magic as a supposed power. Somebody seemingly having control over the forces of nature. But we know different, don't we? Right? We know someone who does have control over nature. God has control. It's often called a miracle. But, you know, I looked up miracle in the dictionary. An event that appears to be contrary to the laws of nature. They don't believe in miracles either, the world. I, on the other hand, I believe in both. I think of a miracle as a big one-time thing, an extraordinary event, like Christ saying, "Peace, be still," right? And the wind and the waves obeyed his will. When he said, "Lazarus, come forth," and a man that was dead and buried in the grave for 4 days came out and walked. When he turned water into wine, when he fed thousands of people with a few loaves of bread, how many times, the times that he gave sight to the blind, legs to the lame. Magic is different to me. All right, I think of magic like it's something unexplainable, but smaller. And it could happen right in front of your eyes. What we're about to look at is a miracle, but it happens every day, unnoticed, right in front of you. Magic. Does it exist? Yes. I want to show you real magic, not sleight of hand, not a one-time miracle. I want to show you honest-to-goodness magic. Honest and goodness. It's honest magic, and it's for our good. It's not magic to entertain you. I'm not going to just show you a miracle for you to look at. Right? This is magic that you can use. Each one of us can take this magic home, and we can see it work every single day. Right in front of your very noses, we can make it a part of our daily life. Does magic exist? According to my dictionary, the way that my dictionary defines magic, it does. According to my Bible, it does. Old and New Testament, the whole Bible gives witness to God's supernatural power. A witness to God's control over the forces of nature. His supernatural power is not supposed. It's real. It's God that makes impossible things happen. In Christ's own words, with God, all things are possible. This morning, I'd like us to see magic that we can all take home and practice, hopefully, every single day. First, let's look at the magic, right? God having control over the forces of nature, something that happens every day. Mark chapter 4, just verses 26 to 28. And he was saying, this is Christ speaking, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts his seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know how. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. God's word is stating here that there is a mystery. Right? A mystery that no man knows how it happens. Verse 26, there's a man casting seed into the soil. Verse 27, time passes. He sleeps, he rises, days pass by. The seed sprouts and grows into a mature plant. And he knows not how. You know what? Nobody knows how. I tried in vain to find out how this happens, right? I Googled. Science doesn't know how these plants come to life. Google doesn't know how, right? Scientists don't know. The miracle of life on every level, plants coming to life. Science is very, very familiar with every stage of growth that happens with that seed. Science has each and every stage from a seed to a sprout to a plant. It's dissected and documented. They know each phase of the seed's life, but what initiates that life, what kicks it off, how it actually starts, they don't know how. They just don't know. They won't admit it, right? They can't explain it. They've got a few supposes, a couple of maybes, one or two guesses. But they really don't know how. Do you know why? Because it's God. It's magic. You can call it a miracle if you want to, and it is. But somebody has control over the forces of nature. And that is exactly what my dictionary defines as magic. It's like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. So we're going to look a little deeper into the magic. I want to see what it means to us personally, and I want to see the application that Christ is making. If you look up at verse 11, there has been given to you a mystery of the kingdom of God. There's a mystery mentioned here in verse 11. A mystery that we have been giving the answer to. There's no doubt that the mystery is the seed. It's in the seed. And the answer to the mystery is in verse 14. The sower sows the word. The mystery, the significance of the seed, is it represents the word of God. Verses 26 through 28 are stating a fact. When seed is planted into the ground, there's something magical that happens. We know not how. It cannot be explained. Science can't understand it. But that seed is alive, and over time, it grows to a mature plant. Now, more importantly, Christ is using this miracle to teach us a great spiritual truth. So is the kingdom of God, he says. And as the real plant is transforming, there is a likeness to God's kingdom. There is seed, and that seed is the Word of God. And that seed, once planted, the Word of God, once planted in your heart and soul, will grow through the passing of time. It will spring up and grow. You know not how, right? But it will bring forth fruit in your life. Spiritual maturity. And as we see, as we will see, Christ-likeness. Magic. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. Don't ask me how it works. I don't know. No one does. Even the songwriter, the last song that we sang, says, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. If you take your time, the time, to read the Word of God, just like that seed in the ground changes into a plant, the Word of God, will, with the passing of time, will change you. It will change you. God says so. You ever notice when the pastor is doing his sermon, how he takes you to other passages, right? Familiar passages sometimes, right? He posts them on a screen, right? Just in case we don't look them up. He could refer to them, but he wants us to see them. Now, I know he's using other scripture to enhance his point, but he's doing something else too. He's casting seed upon your soil, our souls, right? He's watering. He's what he's planted last week, last month, last year. We sleep, we rise, night turns into day, time passes. And that seed is silently working in our soul. It's sprouting, developing, growing us into Christ's likeness. Pastor knows what he's doing. Just like that seed planted in the ground springs to life, God's word springs to everlasting life. We know not how. It's supernatural. It's magic. It's good for us to be here in the house of God. Because no matter how, one way or another, that seed is always being planted. Iron churches, iron sharpening iron. Okay, but let's get back to Mark. All right, first, there are going to be three facts, right, about the seed. We're going to try to see how the seed, the word, like what it does. We're going to see where we're to end up. We're going to end up Christ-likeness. So let's look at the three facts we need to know about the seed. The first fact, and I think most important, there must be seed. Where no seed is planted, no crop will grow. Every farmer knows if you don't plant seed, you will get no crop. There must be seed, and our seed is the holy word of God. The sower sows the word. We all know this verse. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. We almost always apply this to the verses to the lost, right? No one has no chance of salvation without the word of God. That's a non-negotiable fact, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. 1 Peter 1:3, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, and Christ is the word of God. So we do need to sow the seed, spread the gospel. But Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. It applies to me and you too. It's Christ's righteousness that God sees. My mom had a favorite phrase. You've heard the phrase, looking through rose-colored glasses. If you're not familiar with the phrase, it speaks of someone who only sees the good in people. My mother used to tell me that I should look at people through rose-colored glasses and only see the good in people. Right? If you had glasses tinted with red, everything you see and look at would be a little bit rosier, a little bit brighter. When God sees a blood-bought Christian, when he looks upon us with his vision stained by the blood of our Savior, Christ Jesus, he's looking at the Christian through Christ's blood. He's looking through rose-colored glasses. The Rose of Sharon colored glasses. He's looking at Christians through Christ's blood. He sees the sinner through the cross, through spectacles stained by Christ's own blood. God does not see our sin. He sees Christ's righteousness. You know, we err when we think we're more righteous than the next guy. We're not. There is none righteous, no, not one. It's all of God. God sees you righteous because you're trusting in Christ's sacrifice, because your hope is in the Word of God. Back to the seed. You know, I know very little about farming. But I know if you don't plant good seed, all you'll get is weeds. If you don't take care of it, right, weeds will choke it out. If you don't plant seed, if you don't attend to the Word of God, all you will get is weeds. You need God's Word. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. These words that we're speaking of are life. Christ said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Like Peter said, where else can we go? Right? Only Christ has the words of eternal life. As you awake each and every day, there is a world that is working against you. The world sows a different seed. If God's word sows life, then the world sows death. It sows the opposite seed. It's confusion, fear, stress, worry. It's all weeds. Look to any field. If something good was not planted, something else is growing. Earth will, if not planted with something better, breed weeds. We need the supernatural to produce a good crop. We need to be, we must be, in the Word of God. Here's another thought. Nothing honors God more than faith. In fact, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. So the opposite must also be true. If nothing honors God more than faith, then nothing dishonors God more than lack of faith, unbelief. Those who have made up their mind to disbelieve dishonor God the most. Right? This is the unpardonable sin, unforgivable sin, isn't it? When they stopped their ears, when they won't believe, regardless of what they know, right? Like the Pharisees that sought to kill Christ because he raised Lazarus from the dead. I'm amazed at that scripture, right? When despite miracle after miracle, they refused to believe, they'd rather give the glory to Satan. The unpardonable sin is not a single act. It's a state of mind. It's a decision to disbelieve. It's a refusal to believe despite the facts. Our Bible speaks of those who are past feeling. Right? Romans says they are without excuse. But when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you want more faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith will not grow. It cannot grow unless you are subject to the magic of God's word. Unless good seed is sown. And there's only one way to obtain faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes the same way life comes to that seed. It's God, right? He says, so is the kingdom of God, as if man should cast seed into the ground. The seed is the word of God. If you're not sowing the seed of God into the soil of your soul, you're missing out on the magic it can bear. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. No man knows how it works, but I can guarantee you, without the word, it's not going to happen. Second fact, we need to know that the seed we speak of, God's word, works spontaneously, on its own. This is very important. Verse 28 says, the soil produces crops by itself. The power's in the word. Nothing to do with you. Right? You can be smart as a whip or thick as a brick. It just doesn't matter. Right? Your intellect does not matter. I'm actually proof of that. Okay. It has nothing to do with you. Right? Your job is to listen and believe. That's it. The kingdom of God is not found in the wisdom of this world. It's found in the wisdom of this word. One more thought. If you believe, honestly believe, it will change your life. Christ said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. I know a little bit of how to look up Greek. I don't know Greek, but I know how to look it up. Right? Christ said, if a man love me, he will keep his words. Most of the time in the New Testament, the sense of that word if, it's not making a condition. It's not if you do this, that will happen. Right? It's more since or because a man loves me, values me, treasures me, he will keep my words. Since, because, if you love Christ, you will keep his words. The power is in the word of God. Right? It's dependent upon God alone. Right? Sow your seed. Read your Bible. 1 Corinthians 3:7 affirms, it is God that gives the increase. And he will. Third fact. God's word works slow. It's gradual. We sleep and rise. Time passes. Night and day. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. God's magic is not sleight of hand. Right? It's real. And it takes time. We could not handle instant sanctification. What we may one day, right? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, we may have to go through one terrific change. But here and now, it's slow and gradual. I remember when I first got saved, I so wanted instant Christian. But it's gradual, right? My pastor told me, he said, read your Bible every day. Try to memorize at least one verse a week. And you will grow. Be confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Be patient, but be diligent. I used to have a sticker on my fridge. I don't know how many years I had this sticker.
I still do.
I thought I lost it. Huh? It's on my fridge. Wow. It reminded me so much of my Kathy, right? I mean, it's been on a million fridges for over 40, 50 years, right? It says, the greatest oak was once just a little nut that held its ground. Let the seed you get from God's word hold its ground. Meditate on it. Think about it, right? Don't, when you're reading your devotions, just take time to set the Bible down and think about the words. Be patient, but be diligent. Do it every day. Grow in Christ. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Growth is gradual, but it's also sure. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. And be patient with other Christians also. Right? God's word may work in them slower, different than it does in you. We're all different. Encourage others. Never oppose a fellow believer. Help them see the wrong. Don't try to right the wrong for them. Be the Christian you know you should be, and just hope and pray they'll follow suit. Christ came to heal and save, not condemn. Right? A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. It's the job of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to convict of sin, not yours. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Use the word of God. Ephesians talks about the word of God being the sword of the Spirit, I think. Anyways, you hold a sword, not a hammer. Sow the seed. The power is in the seed itself. It's in the word itself. It is God that giveth the increase. We need to think like that farmer. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The farmer always and only has his crop's interest in view. He fertilizes, he plants, he tends, he waters. He does it all for the sake of the harvest. Keep God's harvest in your mind, right? The farmer or the sower. In our parable, it's God. And all God's purpose is for our good. All God's sowing and watering is for our good. All God's mercy and grace, all God's word is for our good. All things work together to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. That's our three facts, but now I want to take a look at how the magic operates. So if you can turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is going to gives us a little bit of insight in how God's word works in us. I'm just going to mention the first phrase, just that first little phrase, right? I don't know if you remember the well in John chapter 4, but the lady said, it's deep. This is deep, right? Too deep for me, right? I don't think there's any deeper water in all of God's Word than when God's Word speaks about God's Word. The well is deep. So we're just going to touch on this verse. But verse 12 says God's Word is alive. For the Word of God is living. It's alive. The Word of God is alive. And it gives life. John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In Acts 7:38, Stephen calls God's Word living oracles. God's Word is alive. It works the wonders of God. Nothing else will do. You know, I think the scientists might be underestimating that little tiny seed. You see, maybe it's already alive. And it's just waiting for the right soil conditions for it to sprout. God's Word is like that seed. It's already alive. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living." It's just waiting for the right heart condition to sprout. And the right heart condition is belief. You know, I sort of want to take that back. The right heart condition is even a heart that wants to believe. Like that father in Mark 9, cry to the Lord. I believe, help my unbelief. God answers that prayer. If this is the only thing you take away from the message, this is it. The seed, the Word of God is alive, and it's just waiting for the right good ground so it can sprout. And that ground is belief. It will grow to maturity if you believe. Do you want an abundant life? Pay constant attention to the Word of God. Verse 12 says the Word of God is active. For the Word of God is living and active. I really believe active is kind of an understatement. Right? I mean, I looked up the word in the Greek. I mean, it works. Right? It's effective. This is not normal active. Right? This is almighty active. This is God's Word. God's Word is the embodiment of Christ. The Word of God is Christ. Right? You cannot separate God from His Word. Christ is the Word of God. So God's Word is part of the Trinity. Right? God's Word is all-powerful. How can we possibly neglect it? God's Word contains almighty power. In the earth, nothing stops an emerging plant. Me and Megan were on a walk the other day and we're watching a tender, very fragile young sprout. It's coming out of the pavement, right? It will break through pavement to reach the sun. It will break through concrete. God's Word is infinitely more powerful than that seed in our parable, right? It will break through your natural nature, our selfish, carnal soul. Planted in you, it will break through this whole evil world to reach God. Plants seek the sun. The more time you spend with sermons, the more time you spend with the Bible, the more time you spend thinking about what you've heard and read, the more chance you will see Christ in your life. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Perfect is better understood, mature. But if you know you're not perfect and you want to be, the Word of God is your only hope. Sow the seed of God in the soil of your heart. I'd like to close with 1 John chapter 3. I have little tags in my Bible, so I don't have to, you know, get all messed up. First John chapter 3, just verses 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. I don't know what we're going to look like in eternity, right? The verse even says that. It's what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. What does that mean, right? I know it doesn't mean I'm going to look like Christ, have dark skin and black hair and a beard, right? That's how Christ looked when he appeared on this earth. Right? We're created in God's image, and we don't look like God. Right? Christ is an image of the invisible God, and Christ isn't invisible. So it doesn't mean we're going to look like him, but we will be like him. Sinless, perfect, fully sanctified. For we shall see him just as he is. Somehow, looking at Christ makes us like him. The Word of God. Right? Here it is. Here he is, Christ. The Word of God. Christ is the Word of God. The longer you look, the more you look, the more intently you look, the more you will look like Christ. It's magic. It's in the Word of God. So why not look at him every single day? Right? Look, stare, fix your eyes upon the Word of God. This Word is like a seed. It will grow in you, and it will grow into the likeness of Christ Jesus. The more you look, the better chance you have of change. It's magic, but it works. You look at verse 1 from our 1 John. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. You know, if you're not a child of God this morning, I need to ask you why not. God the Father wishes to bestow his love upon you. Right? There's little more than hate in this world. Watch the news. Read a history book. There's way too much hate in Christian history. But ye have not so learned Christ. That's a quote from Ephesians chapter 4. Right? You know, read that when you get the chance. It speaks of the world being past feeling, given themselves over to unto lasciviousness. That's filthy sexual desire. Look at the world. It says to work all uncleanliness with greediness. That's the world. But ye have not so learned Christ. In Christ you will only learn love. Never hate. Only good. Never evil. God has only good for you. Christ died for you. Christ died for the ungodly. God commendeth his Son toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is a God. God is good. God is love. And God loves you enough to die for you. You know, he can't do any more. What else can he do? Right? You think about it all you want. God can't do any more. It's up to you now. I'd like to make one last point for the kids from this verse, right? Maybe for their parents too. I don't see any kids though. Right? But 1 John 1:1 said, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. if you're saved and you're a child of God, if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There's another example of our word if. Since children, heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know, I tried to look up children in the concordance, children of God and sons of God. Way too many verses to look up. But you know what I didn't find? I didn't find any grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. None. Zero. What's my point? Your parents can't get you in. Right? There's no family tie can make you a relative of God. You have to make the choice. The seed has to work in you personally. Read and believe. You know, I guess we can sum up this sermon by I encourage you to read your Bible and expect something. I mean, really expect something. Expect a miracle. It doesn't matter where you are. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Sow God's seed, God's word, into the soil of your heart. Dictionary defines magic as a supernatural power that gives somebody control over nature. God's word has the ability to have control over the forces of nature, our human nature, our sinful nature. God's word can change our sinful nature, so we need to let it. Let's close in prayer. Father, prayer and the Bible, the Word of God, this, the two most important things in the world, in everything, in the universe. We pray, Lord, that you would work upon each and every heart. And just help us, Father. The world can just take us with worry and stress and work, and we just need, Lord, to spend time in the Word of God. Spend time with you, listening to you and speaking to you. We thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us to even look at those verses. We thank you for your word. We do pray again for those who are sick, Father. We would like to just hold up our pastor and pastor's wife and just others, than Rob and Maureen, people who are succumbed to this COVID stuff. The world has succumbed to the fear. We don't have to fear, Lord. We have Christ Jesus. We thank you for all the hope you give us. It's in the Word of God. We believe. Help our unbelief. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.